Good morning. Our first hymn this morning will be hymn number two. Number two. We'll sing the first and last verse of this hymn. Number two. Let us sing.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all His angels praise proclaim. All His hosts together praise Him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise Him, O ye heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praise, just give Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted. And His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creepy things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth and all ye people, princes, great earth, judges all. Praise His name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let them praise His name, Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky.
For opening prayer this morning, if you would please turn your hymn book to hymn number 435. 435. We'll sing the first and last verse of this hymn, 435.
Time is filled with swift transition. No lover, none who can stand, build up hopes on things eternal, and hope to God's unchanging hand. We gotta hope to God's unchanging hand. We gotta hope to God's unchanging hand. And if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. We got a hope to God's unchanging hand. We got a hope God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal, and hope to God's unchanging hand. We gotta hope to God's unchanging hand. We gotta hope to God's unchanging hand. Be
Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for being able to approach your throne this morning. We come to you with humble hearts, filled with gratitude, and filled with love, knowing that we can worship your holy name. Father, as we worship you this morning, we ask that you clear our minds of all the evil and unrest and unseemly things that go on in this world. We ask that we focus our minds purely on thoughts of your worship, your love, and your grace, knowing that we are saved through faith. Father, we ask that you watch over the elders of this congregation. We ask that you give them the wisdom that they need to be able to shepherd us. We ask that as they guide us, that we listen to their words of wisdom. We act upon their thoughts and that we listen to what they have as they guide us through life. Father, we ask that you watch over Skippy this morning as he delivers a message from your word. We ask that it pricks our heart this morning and forces us to study longer upon your word. And as we do, Father, we ask that we apply these truths to our lives. Father, we seek to be more Christ-like, for he is our guide in our life. We want others to be able to see Christ in us, to be that light on the hill. Father, we thank you so much that you gave your son to die on the cross for us. Father, of such love, we were not worthy. We are indeed sinful people. But we know that your son's love saved us from a cruel death. And we have a chance to be in eternity with you. Watch over us through this day, that we may be ever more mindful of who we are as Christians, and that the world may see that we are different from those that are around us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
To prepare our minds for the taking of the Lord's Supper this morning, the wood things. In your hymn book, hymn number 300. We'll sing the first and fourth verse of this one. Let us sing.
When I survey the
Christ Jesus prepared and instituted this Lord's Supper in order for us to remember him and to remember the great sacrifice that he made for each and every one of us. As we serve and partake of this supper, he tells us in Luke chapter 22, verses 19, "This do in remembrance of me." At this time, we have the honor and the privilege to serve and partake of this supper. Let us give thanks for the bread. O kind and merciful Father, we are grateful and we are honored for the redemption of the precious body of Christ Jesus that was crucified on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for his body, and we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
We now partake of the cup to help us to remember that great sacrifice upon the cross, the shedding of Christ's blood, that we may have life eternal, that we may have a new covenant to live under, the one that promises all of us opportunity to have a home with God. Let's give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Father, we thank you for your Son and for his defeating death on our behalf, an example of perfection attained by man. Help us, dear Father, to realize the only way we obtain immortality is through your Son, Jesus Christ. And help us to remember that sacrifice for not only this moment as we partake of the cup, but all throughout the week and through our life as we live, that we may be an example unto our communities and that we may bring praise to your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would please mark hymn number 10 in the supplemental song book. Number 10 in the supplemental song book will be our song of invitation this morning. Number 10. Now, after marking that hymn, if you would please turn to hymn number 84, a regular song book, number 84, number 84. We'll sing the first and last verse of this hymn, number 84. Let us sing.
Dread not the things that are ahead, the burden is great, the sinking sand, the thorn that on our path are spread. God holds the future in his hand. God holds the future in his hand. And every heart he understands. On him it depends. He is your friend. He holds the future in his hand. Live close to him and trust his love. Assured that while on earth we roam, whatever may come, he bends above to guide his children safely home. God holds the future in his hands, and every heart he understands. On him depend, he is your friend. He holds the future in his hands. God holds the future in his hands. Understand on him depend.
Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Again, that's Joshua, chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, and I have the New King James Translation. And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan." Brother Skip.
Good morning. Truly God has been good to us. He's allowed us to see a day that we have never seen before. And we just concluded this song that God holds the future in his hands. And truly, he holds that. But our job, and I like the last verse of that song, is our job is to live close to him and to trust in his love. God has been good to us. He's watched over us through sickness, through pain. He has been good to us. And truly, we are just glad to see each and every one of you here. And if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day and Lord for your blessings. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Heavenly Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and the things that it has to say. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of, that things we need to make corrections on. Lord, give us the courage to do so before it's everlastingly too late. Guide me your word, the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk this morning on how to cross our Jordan. When you begin to look at this text, because of their unbelief, Israel was sent us to wander in the wilderness 40 years. But those years have now expired, and the children of Israel are poised to enter into Canaan. And they are ready to claim their inheritance in the land of promise. But before they can enter Canaan, they must first get past one final major obstacle. And that is the Jordan River. God brought them to the Jordan River. River at the time of harvest. And if you know anything, we'll be looking at that later on in verse 15. And those who have been there during the harvest time know that Gilgal, the Jordan, it swells to an impassable width of almost 1 mile. And there was no way that they could cross this river on their own. And so they needed supernatural help. They needed something that was bigger than them. And the one thing that they needed was God, the Father. And so the Israelites were either going to cross the river or they were going to stay stuck on the other side, just short of God's promised blessings. Today, we stand at the juncture of our own Jordan River. And what we need to understand is that the Jordan is a symbol. It's a place where we either cross over or we settle for being just short of where God wants us as individuals and as a congregation. And so I want this morning to just examine how we face the Jordans in our life, and that we learn the spiritual principles that enable us to overcome instead of being overwhelmed. The first thing that I suggest to you that we look at this morning is the challenge. It's there in verse number 3 of Joshua chapter 3. When you look at verse 3 through verse number 4, and what we're going to find is that to overcome the obstacles in our lives, we need to understand that God challenges in his message to us. His challenge involves us to do three things. Number one, watch God. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, he says, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of your Lord, of the Lord your God. See, the ark was the special piece of tabernacle furniture that symbolized the presence of the power of God. And so when the ark was in the Holy of Holies, the glory of God rested upon it, and it was the dwelling place of God. And so to Israel, the Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence in the midst of his people. And so in other words, when God moved, they were to move. And so we see when God stopped, they were to stop. They were to watch the Ark of the Covenant. In other words, they were to focus their eyes on the Lord. Now, there is a very valuable lesson for us right here. And that is, in times of crisis, and when we need directions in life, we need to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. But then the second thing, not only was they to watch God, but they were to follow God. Look again in verse number 3. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are the Levite carrying it, you are to remove your place and go after it. In other words, when the ark of the covenant moves, the message is clear. You are to move out from your position and follow it. Not only were they to watch God, but they were to actively pursue God and follow him. It isn't enough to know what God is doing. There comes a time in all of our lives when you must move out of your position and follow him. And this may require us to leave our comfort zones. Following God may not be the easiest thing to do, but I guarantee you it's the best thing that you will ever do. And then the third part of the challenge is not only were they to watch God, follow God, but they were to honor God. Look at verse number 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, and about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way before. Now watch this. They were to keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. In other words, the Israelites are told to stay at least 3,000 feet behind the ark. There is two reasons why they are to do that. The first reason is that they could easily see what was happening ahead of them. But then there is the second reason, is that the Lord wanted no one but the Levites near the ark, because to get too close would have meant death. And so we see there is a lesson for you and I here. And that is, we must never be guilty of treating God with anything but the respect he deserves. There must always be a holy reverence in our hearts, even during this pandemic that we are in. We still need to honor Almighty God. And so, simply put, these three parts of this challenge in our message are most easily accomplished by learning to walk in the Spirit. And so, first of all, we see the challenge. Secondly, we see the command. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, he says, "And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you." He's going to do some amazing things for you. Now, when you look at this word sanctify or consecrate, it means to ensure that you are as clean and holy before you face the overwhelming obstacles in your life. They were to put away anything that was displeasing to the Lord. They were to examine themselves and get ready for the Lord to do some great things in their lives. Why? Because the Lord was their focus. They were to follow that ark wherever it went, because God was there. And so I'm here to tell you that we need to be focused on the Lord as our target and as our aim. But yet so many times we aim at the wrong things in the Lord's church. It's not the church. It's not the people. It's not the preacher. It's not the shepherds, but it's the Lord that you and I need to focus on. And so, how many of us work our lives in order to focus on the Lord? Let me tell you, we need to dress like our focus is on the Lord. We need to walk like our focus is on the Lord. We need to work like our focus is on the Lord. And we need to worship like our focus is on the Lord. Because I'm here to tell you, we will never cross the Jordans in our lives if we fail to examine our life and ensure we are clean and we are ready for God to work with us and through us. But then, there is the third thing. And the third thing is there in verse 9 through verse number 13. And that is the commitment. There's the commitment. We've seen the challenge. We've seen the command. And then there is the commitment. The message to the Israelites reminded them that getting across the Jordan did not rest in their strength, but it rested in the Lord. It was his commitment to them. It was his plan to get them over, and it was his problem. God commits himself to bringing his people across the Jordan. All that was required of Israel was that they trusted God. Let me tell you, and I need to remind you, that things haven't changed. If God could be trusted in those days to keep his promise, then he can be trusted today to help us to get through this pandemic. We got to learn how to trust God, because often we are unable to get past the obstacles in our lives because of our deep lack of faith in the promises of God. How do I know? Because tragically, it's often the worry and the doubt that marks the lives of the people of God. We worry about tomorrow, but the Lord said, don't worry about tomorrow. Matthew 6 and verse 34. Or we worry about material things, but the Lord promised, seek me first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33, he says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs. We worry about the possessions, but God said, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because I said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5, we worry about everything, but God said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guide your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 through 7. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is Jesus is all powerful. Jesus is all knowing and he is all present. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you've been through, and he knows what you're going to be facing in the future. He knows all about it. He knows everything there is to know about it. But what he reminds us is he reminds us in Romans 1 and verse 17, and the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. Romans 14 and verse 23. But what is the result? Here's the results. It's in verse 15. Look at verse 15, he says. And as they come, and as they that bear the ark will come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark was dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks, and all the time of harvest. The children of Israel was facing a big problem. The river, as we said, was over almost a mile wide. And there were 2 million people who had to cross that river. They had no boats to cross the river. But yet the Lord wanted them to go over. There was only one way around the problem, and that was through it. They had to go through it. But you got to understand, God was with them. They couldn't do it on their own. They needed some help to get through this river. Let me ask you, have you ever sized up your problems and you thought there is no way around? There is no way through. There is no way over or past this problem. And as what you're saying is, you have forgotten about God. You're trying to do it on your own. And if you're trying to do it on your own, yes, there may not be a way you can get around it, over it, but with God on your side, you can make it through it. Where we only see the problem, and I want you to hear this, where we only see the problem, God only sees the solution. Y'all let that sink in. We see the problem, but God sees the solution. And so what happens is we look at the situation and we say there is no way. But God looks at the same problem and says, follow me. I have a plan. I can get you through whatever you're trying to get through. But here's the problem as I close, is that too often we want the Lord just to fix everything in our lives. And we don't want to have to make any decisions, nor do we want to have to exercise any faith. Long as we try to solve our own problems, we are not walking in faith. Listen, it's never about what we can do, but it's always about what the Lord is able to do through us as we respond to him by faith. And so this morning, many of you, no doubt, you are facing obstacles, things that's coming in your life. And if you are not a child of God this morning, maybe you're facing an obstacle. You know what you need to do. You know that you need to obey God. But maybe it's pride that's standing in your way. Maybe you're thinking, what will my friends say? What would my family think of me if I obey the gospel? But what you need to be thinking about is what God is going to say when you stand before him unprepared to meet him. And so, if there's an obstacle, you need to move it out of the way. God has given you time to make that correction this morning. But if you're here and you're a child of God, maybe there are some spiritual obstacles. There are some things that are hindering us and standing in our way of receiving God's inheritance for you and I. These obstacles stand between where we are in our walk with God and where we would like to and should be in our walk with Almighty God. And let me tell you, if you are not close to the Lord, then we need to ask to be asked the question, why not? Why aren't you close to God? What's standing in your way to having a relationship with Almighty God? Move the obstacle out of your way, because God has some amazing things he want to do in your life. You've heard the word. Believe it to be true. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. Whatever the case may be, come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
With me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for waking us up and bringing us safely together to worship you. We pray that everyone in attendance was able to take something from this sermon and use it in their daily lives to make them better, stronger servants unto you. At this time, we also ask that you watch over the people who are sick and the people who are traveling and bring them back to us. And please watch over all of us until our next appointed time here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.